Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a deeper love inside, and I call it pride, a deeper love, pride, a deeper love.
Welcome to the Recovery Corner. I am your host, Tanya Wilson, also known as Authoress Tanya Wilson, author of the book The Time Is Now. The Recovery Corner is proudly brought to you by The Literary Corner. We also provide a diverse platform to bring awareness to socioeconomic issues within our community. Christian values, promotion of small businesses, and support of nonprofit organizations. Our partnering NOP, the Theodore House, provides invaluable services for people who suffer with addictions, mental health, homelessness, and HIV. For more information, please contact Ms. Tamika Randall at www.theodorehouse.org. And we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
So right in the building, House of Stone by Coco. I'ma show you, she gonna show you, we gonna show you how we do this, huh? What? Yo, this bling be the illest. Coco House of Stone got a feeling. Step up in the room, royal like a queen. Rockin' House of Stone, girl, you know you reign supreme. Red carpet jewels, finest of quality. Necklace so reckless, I know you seen the rosary designed for celebrity. Pieces on the runway. Tracy Lynn was so back when you gotta grow up someday. Big girl accessories, always on fleek. Not the average, but the baddest chick, the ones who like to be unique. We don't follow the crowd, we set the trends. Other fashions bow down, House of Stone will never be. My bad with this commercial interrupt. I'm just trying to be your friend, help you step your game up. When you put on House of Stone, get ready for your close-up. Trendsetters, go-getters, ladies in the know. House of Stone stands alone, I just thought I'd let you know. I think I said too much, you need to catch your breath. Nobody does it better, yo, House of Stone is the best. This is the Soul Writer, and I'm here with my girl Coco. House of Stone by Coco, that is. She's got the flyest bling on the planet, yo. She's kicking down doors in magazines, on the runway, celebrity jewelry designer. And I'm trying to put you down with game. On Facebook, House of Stone by Coco. Instagram, House of Stone by Coco. Twitter, House of Stone by Coco. Yo, it's real easy. And if you're really trying to holler at my girl, then holler at your girl, the Soul Writer. And I'll put you in direct contact with none other than the lady herself. Now, when you step outside, your fashion needs to be standing on a firm foundation, and it gets no firmer than the house that Coco built. Yo, check it. I'ma show you, huh? She gonna show you what? We gonna show you how we do this, huh? What? House of Stone by Coco. It doesn't get any better than the best.
Welcome back to the Recovery Corner. I am your host, authoress Tanya Wilson. And my guest for this evening is founder of ROC Recovery Services for Women, Rosemary O'Connor. Rosemary O'Connor is a certified professional coach, a certified addiction coach, and an author. Rosemary O'Connor is the founder of ROC Recovery Services for Women. She got sober in 1999 and understands the challenges of staying sober and rebuilding a rewarding life. For the past 10 years as an experienced life coach, Rosemary has helped hundreds of people to bring about positive changes in their personal and professional lives. She coaches clients individually and in groups to support, rebuild, and implement structure. Rosemary has developed and facilitates experiential seminars that cover topics that include career development, motivation, life transitions, overcoming fears, effective communication, healthy boundaries, self-confidence, and a step-by-step process to reaching dreams and goals. Rosemary received a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from St. Mary's College. In 2004, she received her coaching education from the Coaches Training Institute. A year later, she was trained as a leadership coach, where she completed more than 200 hours of experiential training. Rosemary is a certified professional coach and has a specialty certification from the World Coaching Institute as a certified addiction coach. She is a member of the International Coaches Federation and has completed training in the ARISE Intervention Evidence-Based Method. Rosemary's work in the addiction field includes a prestigious treatment center as a recovery life coach and workshop facilitator for Bayside Marin, Altamira Recovery Programs, Muir Wood Adolescent Family Program, and Five Sisters Ranch. Rosemary serves on the advisory board of Stepping Stone, the oldest alcohol and drug recovery program for women in Northern California. She is also the author of the book entitled A Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, Taking Care of Yourself to Take Care of Your Kids. And ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Rosemary O'Connor.
Well, thank you so much, Tonya. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
It's my pleasure, and I'm so glad you decided to share, you know, your story with us here on the Recovery Corner Blog Talk Radio Show. Now, my first question that I have for you is, what was it like for you growing up as a child? What did life look like for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm one of seven kids born in 8.5 years. A strong Irish Catholic family.
Okay.
Wonderful, loving parents that are still married this day. I think it's like 56 years. And, you know, I was raised right, and, you know, front row church every Sunday, and, you know, nice schools. And basically, you know, I was, it was very lucky. I was, you know, I had a great upbringing.
Okay. So, now you also, had, you know, addiction problems yourself.
Oh, yes. That's what my book is all about, is, you know, basically all the addictions that I faced. Yeah, I mean, I've been in recovery for alcoholism over 16 years, and when I was a couple years sober, I went in to get treatment for codependency, and then I've been in recovery for love addiction, spending addiction. Yeah, spending addiction. So.
Wow, love addiction. Love addiction, and what else? Spending. Or would that
spending.
Be gambling? Like the gambling, gambling.
Well, I feel like I gambled
or
my
shopping
life.
Addiction.
Shopping. Yeah.
Yeah, because I always tell people there's so many different kinds of addiction.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know.
I even, like, you know, workaholism. I mean, you know, I think when I'm not spiritually connected to a God, and then I try to go out and do life, the world wants me to be sucked into outside my spiritual world, and you know, that drive can be strong.
Right. That's so true. You know, and I believe, you know, when you have to be successful in recovery, you have to have a strong spiritual foundation.
Oh, for sure. I mean, my
and a support system out of this world, because if you don't have the support that you need, you don't have the spiritual foundation, chances are you're going to go back out and, you know, still continue those addictive behaviors.
Right. I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's the people, the women that I have met in recovery that have just saved me time and time and time again. You know, it's, I mean, I fully believe that recovery is a spiritual journey. It's what led me back. It's what led me back to God. That's for sure.
Right.
And that's been actually the biggest gift. You know,
definitely a gift.
I didn't know.
It's like you just like being reborn. You know.
Oh, for sure.
It's like
for sure.
Your whole life changes when you're in recovery. You have to change your whole lifestyle. You know, it's a whole lifestyle change. You know, you have to be reconnected, you know, to your spirituality, you know, really. You know.
Right. Yeah.
And once you reconnect with that and you have a strong support system, you go. Run with it. Because it's definitely a gift because, you know, so many things out here, you know, like my greatest fear when I was, you know, I had alcohol addiction. It was to die in my addiction. That was something else that really scared me. So what for you was your greatest fear when you were in addiction?
Yeah, my greatest fear, and this is really why I got sober, was that I was going to lose my children, that I was separated from my now ex-husband, and I knew he would take the kids, and that's why I decided.
And the children definitely will make you open your eyes, for real.
Oh, yeah.
Another part. When you have children, and that's another driving force, of, you know, like far as recovery and wanting to get yourself and your life together when you have children.
Right. Well, and that's why I wrote the book. I mean, because it's all, I mean, it comes from a place of, you know, it's a Sober Mom's Guide to Recovery, and the tagline is taking care of yourself to take care of your kids.
That's so true.
Yeah, and so I just, knew that in all my addictions, if I didn't get help, that my kids would suffer, and they
that's
did.
That's so true. Because some people think it's so tough. Sometimes you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of your children. Because if you don't take care of you, how, you know, the children can't take care of themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not
and they're not going to feel that bond with you. You know, you have to have, you know, I always had a strong bond with my children. Always did.
Right.
Always
me
did.
Too.
And, like, the last 2 months of, like, you know, like, I went on, like, a two-month binge, and it was devastating for me because I drank ever since I was about 13. And it was like more like social drinking, but it's like the older you get, the more the disease progresses.
Right, definitely a progressive,
you know,
and fatal disease. Right.
So what scared me was, I was like for like 2 months binge, like 1 month of it, I was not functional.
Oh right. Yep.
And it scared me to death. It was more of a spiritual rock bottom.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah, you know, people say they hit rock bottom, they're homeless, there it is. You know, all this stuff is going on. But for me, it was more of a spiritual. I mean, I still had a roof over my head, my kids still there. You know, it was a little different. But spiritual rock bottom was horrible.
Right. Right. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, who is this person? I don't know her. You know what I'm saying? And it scared me to death. And I was so paranoid that to a point where I wouldn't go out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was just terrible until one day I just said, I surrender. I give up.
Right.
I got to go. So I went and got treatment. You know, went to rehab, 28 days, you know, 5 days, the detox or whatever. Then I went somewhere else, you know, straight from there and went to rehab for 28 days. And I've been sober ever since. So it'll be 5 years. Next month.
Oh, that's great.
Uninterrupted sobriety. Yay.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, thank you.
Because I was like, yes, it's definitely by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I do. Yeah.
That's definitely by the grace of God because, you know, all it takes is one time.
Mm-hmm.
To
mm-hmm.
go back to what, you know, I actually got up and moved and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got to go. So that's what
good
I did.
Good for you. Yeah,
that's
good for
what
you.
I did.
For you.
So now you said you had a, like, shopping addiction, love
mm-hmm.
addiction. Tell me a little
mm-hmm.
bit about that. Cause, well, I know people
yeah.
that do have shopping addictions, but love addiction, yeah, well, I guess, you know, because
yeah,
I know where
yeah.
I went for rehab, they had a place where they had people, you know, services for people with gambling, people with sex
mm-hmm.
addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, for me, my experience was when I put down the alcohol,
mm-hmm.
I picked up the men, you know, anything.
Okay.
So I didn't have to feel
mm-hmm.
the feelings, and I was, you know, my kids were 2, 5, and 8. I didn't know how
okay.
I was going to support them, and
mm-hmm.
I just felt like I couldn't do it on my own, and I was
right.
so ashamed that my family, you know, I just thought, I'm just going to find the right guy, and he'll fix me, he'll take care of me,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll live happily ever after, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
nope.
that.
Gotta give it
I
to God.
Gotta give it to God. And I went from man to man to man and
mm-hmm.
finally realized that the common denominator was me, not the wrong
mm-hmm.
guy.
Right,
plus my picker was broken. And, you know, it's just, I know. It's just another addiction. Anything
mm-hmm.
to go outside of myself to make me feel
right.
better. And
right.
and then it becomes obsessive, like, where is
mm-hmm.
he? And then if you find him, thinking about him all day,
wow. yeah.
it becomes obsessive. And
yeah.
It has caused a lot of the same effects. On
mm-hmm.
your brain.
It's the same addictive
yeah.
behavior. You know,
yeah.
it's addiction.
Same.
Addiction
right.
is addiction. It
brain.
Doesn't matter what, you know, because a lot of people are addicted to different things. Like,
mm-hmm.
some people have an eating addiction.
Right.
And you
yeah.
can name, there's so many that you
yeah,
can be
well,
addicted
I was,
to.
Yeah, when I was
mm-hmm.
in college, I was bulimic, and I stopped that behavior, but that's when my drinking really took off. I mean, I literally remember being on my knees in front of the
mm-hmm.
toilet saying, God, please help me. And so that behavior
yeah.
stopped, but then my drinking just
mm-hmm.
took off. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had most of them.
So what was your drug of choice?
Alcohol.
Oh, that
again.
Was mine. That was the only one. Now, thank God for that, too, because, like, ooh, I was too
yeah.
scared to do anything else. So, you know, but that addiction to alcohol was enough.
Right. Well,
that was
and it's,
enough.
Yeah, and the alcohol is socially acceptable. You know,
right, and that's what makes
legal.
It so, yeah. That's,
right.
That's the part to me. And that they make people believe that alcohol is not a drug.
Oh, yeah.
And it is. And I don't care how you dress it up, it's still a
mm-hmm.
drug.
Right. Yeah, someone
ask
told
somebody
me.
Who know.
Right, right.
Ask
well,
somebody
what,
who really know. Yeah, it's a drug.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's
mm-hmm.
great all the studies they're doing on the brain now, too, is that you can just
yeah.
see, you know, it's all affecting the reward system in the brain. So, and again, it's what happens, but I learned is it's not how much I drink or how often I drink. It's what happens when I drink.
When you drink, exactly.
Yeah, right, right.
Because it's like
so,
you can go to some people can drink socially,
mm-hmm.
but when you have an addiction, you
mm-hmm.
can't drink like everybody else do.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like, you can go to a party and you can drink. Some people can drink, you know, at the party, and then after that, they just go on. I mean, I was never really an everyday drinker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part, I didn't really. Sometimes I was drinking, and then I would be sick, you know, and I wouldn't drink for like 4 or 5 months, something like that. And then one time I didn't drink for a whole year. I didn't even pay it no mind, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like what it does to me. But it's like as I got older, it was like going to a party, you know, and then the thing is, after the party, I still wanted to keep on drinking.
Right.
Not
right.
good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I was functional with it. You know how you can go to work and rock, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But when I, you know, not being functional scared me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what also scared me is when I realized that I really wasn't choosing the drink. Like I would say every day, I'm not going to drink tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to drink tomorrow. And I found myself, of course, every day, you know, at 5 o'clock would roll around. And so I really realized that I could not put it down. It was kind of
right.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Who, me?
It took control over you.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly.
And it does.
Yeah, I remember trying to convince, you know, my sponsor that I wasn't an alcoholic, and because I would rationalize, you know, the alcoholic brain wants to be anything but an alcoholic.
Right.
I would rationalize. I'd say, well, some days I'd only have one, which I don't think was ever the truth. We have a habit of not telling the truth.
Yeah, or, you know, and you always make up excuses to drink.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a reason. It's always, you know, some reason or excuse to drink, you know. I'm celebrating this. I'm sad about this. Anything.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I know. We're human. But then another thing she said to me, you know, I said, oh, well, some days it's just one or some days it's none. And then some days it's, you know, 10 and I black out. And she said, okay, Rosemary, when you wake up in the morning, when you wake up, do you know if it's going to be a 0, a 1, or a 10 drink day? And I said, no. And she said, well, see, you've lost the power then.
Wow.
Because there were so many times when I thought, oh, I'm just going to have one or two. And then before I know it, I'm passed out. And I think I've had, you know, 10 to 20. And you know, end up in strange places.
So did you kind of grow up around the drinking and stuff like that?
Oh.
Was it something that was normal in your household?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're Irish Catholic. Everybody
Irish too. I got Irish in me. And I always just make a joke of it. Like, I said, that's why I like beer so much, because I got Irish blood. Then I got Indian blood. You know, African American. Yeah. So, I'm predisposed anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I definitely love my beer. You know, because you know how you make jokes and stuff and whatever. But, you know.
Right.
But it became to a point where I got so sick and tired of it. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right.
And I said, I cannot do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. Finished.
Yep. Well, thank God, right?
Yes. And I also believe that God actually took me through that to wake me up.
Oh, for sure.
Because he wanted to use me to do something else, to help other people.
Yeah, that's
because
because
I always say this, and sometimes people will say you shouldn't say that, but if I was still able to drink and still function, I might still be drinking.
Right.
But he took me to a place where he made it sure that I wasn't functional, because he wanted to use me for his purpose. I wouldn't be doing the show. I wouldn't have wrote no book. I still be probably joking about writing a book about my life, you know, because I used to do that.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, I think that's the best part of all of this, that, you know, we get to help out other people and, you know, we get it and we can be the hope, just like the other women were the hope for me, that I don't have to live that way any longer.
Right.
And then, you know, and then the connections I've made with people in this world and my connection to God. And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
just that I had the opportunity to write this book and the miracle that Hazelden published it. I mean, I didn't think
right.
I was a writer or an author, and certainly I didn't think that Hazelden would publish it. You know,
mm-hmm.
but I just kept listening to that voice saying, write a book,
right.
write a book.
Write a book. That's what I'm saying, the inspiration, because I always joked about it, and then one day I was like, you know, I should write that book. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
and God really did inspire me to write that book.
Oh, yeah.
You
I'm
know.
Very clear on myself. I'm very clear.
You know, definitely, you know, because it was like the title of the book, Time Is Now, I was
mm-hmm.
like trying to think of, I don't even know where to start, you know, like try to start from the beginning
mm-hmm.
of my life and work and go, you know, just go on from there, or should I start from now and work my way back?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like,
right.
just write it, the time is now. I said, boom, there's
right.
my title already. I already had the cover of the book picked out already before I even got the title of what it was going to be. So I just started
wow.
writing, like, say, like, I had a goal set in mind that I would finish my book on my 3-year sober anniversary. So I started
oh, wow.
writing the book in January of 2014, and I finished that book on exactly my 3-year sober anniversary, which was March 20th, and I did a self-publishing on Lulu.com,
oh.
and that
wow.
book was published, like, I think March 31st or something like that. It was actually...
Oh.
you know, published, I think it was published before then, but it was like on Amazon and Barnes
mm-hmm.
and Noble Books a Million by March 31st, something like that. But
wow.
I was finished it. I had a goal in mind, and I prayed before I wrote each chapter. You
yep.
know, I
it's
didn't
insane.
Even work on it every day, and I finished it in 2 months' time.
Wow. Yeah.
Because,
I
see, when you're insane. Writing about your own life,
mm-hmm.
there's no writer's block.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Good point.
Now,
yeah,
I used to write as a teenager, but I would always get writer's block. I could just put it down, and then life happened. You know how when you're a teenager.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It just
oh,
you
yeah.
know then life happened, and you have children, and boom. That you know after that, I always make a little joke. Oh yeah, I'm gonna write a story about my life. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, but I did the same thing too. Each time before I wrote. I would just say, God speak through me. I want
yeah.
this to be your book. And
mm-hmm.
And then whenever I got like stuck, I'd put the pen down or the computer down
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, God, I'm
yeah,
stuck.
Sometimes you have to take a break. But like I said,
yeah.
that's why I said I didn't write every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said, sit your butt down at that computer and get to writing, and I say my little
yeah.
prayer and just start mm-hmm. writing and just flow.
That's great.
You know, it just flowed.
That's
you know?
Great. Yeah.
So who were your role models when you were growing up?
Oh, gosh. My role model, one, my dad, for sure. His faith was just so strong, and he is just this wonderful man, kind and loving and generous. And then, my mom, really their spiritual life has always been number one in their lives.
Right.
And then my dad's mother, my grandma Mimi, she died when I was 7, but there was just something about
yeah.
her that
mm-hmm.
was a real role model. And then one of my aunts, who I always adored, she got sober. She actually died 25 years sober. So,
wow.
yeah, growing up, that was growing up. But really, my real mentors and role models once I got sober were all the women that had gone before me.
Mm-hmm.
So those were my real role models, I'd say, other than my parents in my life.
Okay.
So yeah. How about
who would you say are your role models now?
My sponsor, for sure.
Okay.
You know, she's got a lot of years before me, ahead of me. She's been married and divorced, and she's a mother, and now she's a grandmother. I'm not a grandmother yet. It's women in recovery that have walked through life and didn't pick up a drink or a drug, and they're helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my role models, and they continue to be. It's more of the people that have really overcome some real life hardships, but yet they get up.
Right.
They help other people. I really admire people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about you are the founder of ROC, Recovery Services for Women. So tell me a little bit about your recovery services.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm an addiction coach and a recovery coach. So
mm-hmm.
basically all the people I work with mainly are women and their families.
Mm-hmm.
So we do recovery coaching, life coaching. I have a sober living for women over 30. And I'm also in the process of writing my second book. And it's
Ooh.
Really kind of, it's along the same format of just different
right.
short topics. But, you know, mm-hmm. everything I do is in the recovery field and mainly services for women. So anything that might
mm-hmm.
help them, support them along their journey
mm-hmm.
in life.
So you do like transitional services for women, like, and transition, like from when they finish, you know, with their treatment.
Mhm. Right.
You know,
and
like a sober
right.
living home.
Mm. Exactly. And some of the women I work with live at the sober living, but many don't.
Mm-hmm.
Many I'm just coaching
right.
them, whether it be on the phone or face to face or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the majority
okay.
of my business. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
sounds
very
great.
Grateful. Very grateful.
Me too, because like for me, I can't like my gratitude won't let me just sit there and not do
right.
anything. Because I'm so
right.
grateful to be free from that. That
mm-hmm.
I can't help but reach out to other people to help them.
Right. Right.
You know, because a lot of people in recovery, you know, they go to their meeting or they do what they do and they don't really reach out. I just don't understand how you can be in recovery and
mm-hmm.
not help somebody else. Even if,
well,
you know, like for me, I never really went to meetings
mm-hmm.
like that, except because, like in rehab, that was like 20 days of meetings all day, every day.
Uh-huh.
And once I got on out of there, I went to maybe 4 meetings all together, and it wasn't for me. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So then they had signed me up for an outpatient program, and I would go
mm-hmm.
there. I went there. I think that lasted maybe 2 weeks because then I got bored,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I'm not going to do that no more. So then, like when I was about 1 year sober, I still felt a little off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
right.
I didn't know why, but there's something, I was sitting there one day and something said, go upstairs in your bedroom and look in your book, because I had like a binder with all my stuff from recovery, you know, from rehab
mm-hmm.
and papers and all kinds of stuff, and I looked at one of the papers and it had a diagnosis on it. And it said generalized anxiety disorder. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And I'm I said, well, is that what's wrong with me? I said, now, I know for me, I was excessive worrier. I just worried
mm-hmm.
all the time. You would never know it.
Right. Right.
You wouldn't know it because I was like always the coolest person in the room. Like if something break out and happen, I'm the one calming everybody else down.
Yeah.
You know how you're the one calming everybody else down, the one who's all cool?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I always
right.
worried all the time, and it was like too, like, it affected my life because I worried so much,
right.
you know?
Right.
So I didn't know they had gave me a diagnosis. So what I did was I took all my papers that, you know, from rehab and called the closest mental health clinic and signed up for therapy, and I still go to therapy to this day, and that's the program that I work.
Oh, and it works for me.
You know,
yeah.
But I don't have anything against it. It's what works for you.
Because
we're all, you know, on a journey of recovery, but we all take different paths. We're all on different paths.
Right.
But it's the same you know, journey, you know. I have nothing against somebody that goes to me and says it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
but it didn't work for me to go to a meeting. I'm like, that's not really helping me because I was so tired of, like, the meetings. I mean, I can't say that I was tired of it. It was just that now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I learned so much about the disease of addiction and rehab, and I'm so glad that I went.
Right.
But
yeah, good
a lot
for
of people
you.
Would say, you know, this is my sixth time being here, and I'm looking at them like, what? I said, I ain't never, you know how you thinking in your head? I said, I ain't never coming back here. You know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, I learned it, I said, I ain't trying to be up in here no six times. I ain't coming back. Trust me, you ain't going to see me
more. You are
You know what I'm saying?
That's
you
great.
Won't see me because after I'm done, I'm done. When I said I'm done, I meant it.
Yeah.
You know, because then you
well,
have people.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that. But and I can take about another minute. I could sit here and talk to you all day long, but unfortunately, I can't. Maybe
okay.
we can do another show or something. But this has been so great to chat with you and know
nice
that.
Nice talking to you, too.
Yeah, knowing that, you know, we're not alone. We've got a lot of. You've done so many great things. I'm really inspired by you.
I'm inspired by you, too. You know, the main thing is, like, knowing that you're not alone. And, you know, a lot of people out there think that they're the only one going through certain things, but you just don't know. There's so many people out there that need help. And all they got, and some people are afraid or ashamed to ask for help. So what advice would you have for someone that's in active addiction? And also, what advice would you have for someone that's in recovery?
Well, I'd say reach out and get some help, whether you're just trying to stay sober today. And even for all the people out there that are sober, is keep asking for help because life keeps showing up. And none of us are alone.
Yeah, it's going to keep showing up.
Yeah, and none of us are alone. We don't have to be alone in any of our struggles or our joys. They're meant to be shared.
Well, definitely. I definitely believe that. You know, we're supposed to help each other. You know.
Right.
Helping others.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. I do have to run, but
okay. But just before you go. Just before you go, can you tell people how they can purchase your book and where they can purchase your book and how they can reach you on social media? Because
sure.
you have,
well,
you know, the Super Bowl thing going on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's why I've
like,
got to go. I've got a house full of people. Everybody can get all those things, my book, and contact me on social media. They go to my website, which is RocRecoveryServices.com.
Okay.
Okay.
And where can they purchase your book?
They can purchase it off of my website.
Okay.
Yeah, or they can go to hazelden.org. It's H-A-Z-E-L.
And it's also
on Hazelden.
Yeah, I have it on the web on the Hazelden www.hazelden.org.
Yes.
And it's also on Amazon. I saw it there.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's in a lot of bookstores, Barnes & Noble. So, it's pretty easy to find. Okay, well, thanks again. And
thank you for joining us and sharing your story with us on the Recovery Corner Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm going to go out the commercial. I usually do my serenity prayer, but because we're pressed for time, we're going to go out on the commercial, and we're going to say good night to everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And thank you for joining us on the Recovery Corner Blog Talk Radio Show.
Soul writer in the building, House of Stone by Coco. I'ma show you, she gonna show you, we gonna show you how we do this, huh? What? Yo, this bling be the illest. Coco House of Stone got a feeling. Step up in the room, royal like a queen. Rockin' House of Stone, girl, you know you reign supreme. Red carpet jewels, finest of quality. Necklace so reckless, I know you seen the rosary designing for celebrity. Pieces on the runway. Tracy Lynn was so back when you gotta grow up someday. Big girl accessories, always on fleek. Not the average, but the baddest chick, the ones who like to be unique. We don't follow the crowd, we set the trends. Other fashions bow down, House of Stone will never be. My bad with this commercial interrupt. I'm just trying to be your friend, help you step your game up. When you put on House of Stone, get ready for your close-up. Trendsetters, go-getters, ladies didn't know. House of Stone stands alone, I just thought I'd let you know. I think I said too much, you need to catch your breath. Nobody does it better, yo, House of Stone is the best. This is the Soul Writer, and I'm here with my girl Coco. House of Stone by Coco, that is. She's got the flyest bling on the planet, yo. She kicking down doors in magazines, on the runway, celebrity jewelry designer. And I'm trying to put you down with games. On Facebook, House of Stone by Coco. Instagram, House of Stone by Coco. Twitter, House of Stone by Coco. Yo, it's real easy. And if you're really trying to holler at my girl, then holler at your girl, the Soul Writer. And I'll put you in direct contact with none other than the lady herself. Now, when you step outside, your fashion needs to be standing on a firm foundation, and it gets no firmer than the house that Coco built. Yo, check it. I'ma show you, huh? She gonna show you what? We gonna show you how we do this, huh? What? House of Stone by Coco. It doesn't get any better than the best.